As we enter into the Word of God together, Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Hallelujah. I just feel like celebrating with Jesus this morning. I feel like celebrating. Amen. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. He will not have his way in your life in the name of Jesus. Depression shall not come upon you in the name of Jesus. Discouragement shall not take hold of you in the name of Jesus. I declare that your spirit shall arise and resist every form of discouragement, every form of disappointment, every lie the enemy is speaking into your life right now. I say it shall be resisted in the name of Jesus. You shall arise and take hold of your future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that was for somebody here this morning. Jeremiah 29 verse 4. Jeremiah 29 verse 4. It says, are you there with me? It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruits. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7 says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name, I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He says, then you will call upon me. He said, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. From your captivity. Our supporting text this morning is taken from the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant, he's a covenant-keeping God, and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Let's jump to verse 20. It says, now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Verse 22, and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. I pray that will be somebody's testimony this month in Jesus' name. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. This morning, I just want to continue the second part of my message, which I started last week. And it's called Prayer, a Key to Your Future. Prayer, a Key say another way, you can say securing your future through prayer. Last week, we started our month of revelation, or divine revelation, that we've themed the divine revelation, by talking about prayer being a key part, a key ingredient to the fulfillment of the future God has for us. I explained that prayer is a price you pay in order to get revelation from God. For those that want to have an understanding of the future God has for them, then there's a price to pay. In order to get something good, something of quality, you pay a certain price. If you buy something that is not of value, then the quality you will get from it will not be one that is of value. And the same way, concerning spiritual things, the price you pay concerning spiritual matters will determine the quality of your spiritual life or what comes to you spiritually. I went on to explain that our life should be based on getting into the realm of revelation from God. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, from verses 13 downwards, the Bible talks about Jesus asking his disciples that, who do men say that I am? And Peter said something, said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said something, said, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. But further on, which is where I'm going, he said, on this rock I will build my revelation. And I made us understand that there's something called the rock of revelation. That when you begin to build your life on what is called the rock of revelation, the gates of hate cannot prevail against it. The storms of life cannot overcome it. The challenges and trials cannot overthrow it. Once you understand that if I can build my life on the rock of revelation, and the way to get revelation is in the place of prayer. And you know, further on, I never got down to it, you know, but further on, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, is bound in heaven. Which means that based on the rock of revelation that you have, there's a new level of access to the heavenly places that you have. Because you understand and you have entered and gotten the mind of God concerning your life, you have access because you are talking the mind of God when you are praying. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning? And you see, I just want to continue along those lines this morning. And, you know, one of the things that God desires from us is that we pray to Him. I'm sure we all know that. He wants us to pray. Prayer is how we commune, as we know, and fellowship with God. It is one of the things that He wants from us. Fellowship is what God wants. And through prayer, that's one of the means by which we do that. And what you find is that when we don't pray, we are basically telling God that we don't need Him. Anytime we don't pray concerning our future, anytime we don't pray concerning our decisions, our plans, the things we want to do, the road in which we want to take, the goals, it means that, God, I don't need you in this respect. So I've decided that I will build my own life. You know, like the song we're saying, you are the pillar that builds my life. So we were basically saying, God, I don't need this rock of revelation from you. I understand what I need to do, so you can step aside for me to walk. And indirectly, when we don't pray concerning our future, concerning certain areas of our lives, then what that means is that we are telling God that we don't need Him. We have made God redundant. Amen? And you see, in order to get the future God wants for us, as we all know, we need to pray. In the scripture we read earlier in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, from verses 4 to 14, God revealed to Jeremiah what his intentions concerning Israel was. He revealed to him that this is what is going to happen. They're going to be in captivity for so many years. But then he said something. He said that after 70 years, that the captivity in Jeremiah 29:10, he said after 70 years, the captivity will end. He said that he will visit the people. And then started saying that the plans, the thoughts, I have a future for them. But then what struck me is that although God was saying that I have a future, I have the plans, He went on to further say that, but you need to seek me. So the fact that God has plans for you, God has determined what you should become, does not mean that you will become it unless you seek Him. Unless we seek the face of God concerning the future, you'll find out that the prophecies that have been declared may not necessarily come to pass. And you know, God said that, seek me. He said that, and you will seek me. No, verse 12, it says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And then he said, you will seek me and find me when you heart for me with all your, when you search for me with all your heart. So he was saying that in order for those things, in order for your future to be bright, seek me. In order for you to have access into the realm that I've created for you, seek my face. That's what I was saying in that scripture. And you know, the interesting thing is that your life may be full of potential. Your life may be full of hope. You may be talented. You may be the best at everything you do. But if it is not what God wants for you, it's all to no avail. Hence, the reason why we need to get divine revelation to know the things that He wants for us so that we can enter into those areas. Am I making sense this morning? You know, in that scripture, the revelation was clear. It was clear what God wanted to do. But prayers were still needed to bring it to pass. It was clear what God wanted to achieve, but prayers were still needed to enter into it. So the first part is for us to understand what God wants us to do next year. But we need to understand that in order to enter into those things, we still need to enter into a place of prayer. And you'll find that in Daniel chapter 9 that we went on to read, Daniel started praying. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, I believe. I'll just open to it now. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. So Daniel had an understanding that, hey, first of all, Jeremiah gave a prophetic word. 70 years down the line, Daniel understood that there is a prophetic word that should come to pass about now. He understood that, hey, the 70 years have passed. It is now about the time for that vision, the things that God spoke, for those things to come to pass. Now, stay with me. Don't sleep. And it says something. So he understood that it was about time. If you read that scripture, it says that understood by the books, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that it would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. What did Daniel do in verse 3? Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Can you see that? He understood that the time was about to come to pass. He did not just sit. Listen to me, there are some prophecies that have been spoken over your life in the past. But it is time to get into that place in order to access heaven. He realized that the season was now. But what did he do? He got into the place of prayer in order to ensure that it came, the manifestation happened. The Bible says that he set his face and he prayed to God concerning it. And then in verse 20, what happened? Verse 20, he got revelation. The angel came. Listen to me. Daniel bombarded heaven with the prayers for the future of the Israelites to be secured. You know, as I was preparing, I was wondering that, I wonder, if he had not bombarded heaven with prayers, would the Israelites have entered into that future? I don't know. But it's a question you need to ask. The things that you should have entered into that you have not yet entered into, is it because that you have not yet sought God's face concerning those things? or prayed about them. There's something about contending for your prophecy. Listen to me, the enemy is not so much after you, he's after what you become. Every prophecy that gives glory to God, every word, every action of yours that will give glory to God, the enemy tries to steal it. He's after your future and anything that can be done to ensure that your future is not secured or entered into that will glorify God. Daniel entered into the place of prayer and did what? He started praying. It makes us to understand that he took time out to understand the prophecy, to pray about it, and to ensure that the Israelites entered into it. There are many people that have received revelations, dreams, prophecies that have not walked in it and may never walk in it. That's not a prayer, but it's a fact. May, and I use the word may, unless they are ready to pay the price. There's a price to be paid for everything in life. You know, if they say, there's something that they say, nothing in life is free. Do you know your salvation is not free? It costs. Jesus paid the price. The air you breathe is not free. In the sense that I don't know my chemistry, but whoever produced the plants, produced the H2 and all that, wherever it comes from, there was a price that was paid for it. There was a price. Because in order to produce it, something needed to happen. Concerning spiritual matters, there is a price. Help me turn to your neighbor. Tell them there is a price to pay. And you see, God wants us to enter into the future that he has for us. He wants us to have divine revelation, number one, of the future. Divine revelation of what to do. And divine revelation, when we get there, of how to go about doing it. But prayer is the price that will secure that thing. Your prayer is the fuel that drives the word of prophecy from God. Your prayer is like oxygen that is required for your prophecies to breathe. If you don't pray, do you know what happens? Every word God speaks to you is being choked. Every word of prophecy, if you are not praying and watering it, what's happening is like a seed that is planted into the ground and forgotten. That is not watered. No matter how good the soil is, if it is not watered, what happens? It will not germinate. That's what happens when you don't water your prophecies, the words God has given you, in the past, the dreams you've had. Hallelujah. The Bible says something. As Daniel prayed, something happened. There was a stirring in heaven to bring the prophecy to pass. You find out that when Daniel prayed, what happened? God sent angelic hosts to begin to work on the project. As he prayed, something began to happen. As he prayed, the heart of somebody called Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, was stirred. As he prayed, he could not stop but do something. Listen to me. When you pray, you don't know what's happening, but God is speaking to somebody on your behalf. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Let me show you. Second Chronicles chapter 36. Second Chronicles 36:22.
Are you there? It says in verse 22, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord did what? He stirred up. Notice what it says. It says he stirred up. What? In order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, somebody needed to be stirred up for it to come to pass. And it says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. And he has commanded me to build him a house. This is someone that was not an Israelite or a Christian, if you put it that way. To build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. How do I know it was through the prayers of Daniel that stirring happened? In Daniel 10 verse 1, it talks about in the third day of Cyrus, something happened. So Daniel started praying in Daniel 9, and you see that there was a stirring. Am I speaking to somebody? Listen to me, there are some Cyruses that their spirits need to be stirred up. But that spirit will not be stirred up if you don't pray. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? The Bible says that he had to make a proclamation concerning Jerusalem. The people that were in his kingdom that they had been taken captive, he himself rose up and made a proclamation and said that, hey, I need to build a house in Jerusalem. You know, I was reading, I was thinking, why would a king of Persia say he wants to build a house in Jerusalem? And then the people that were under his authority, which normally you would expect that he would want to keep them there, he said, you can go. If it wasn't the Lord walking, and what caused the stirring? The prayers of Daniel brought the prophecy to begin to be stirred up and manifested. I pray in the name of Jesus that this month, that as we wait and pray, that God will cause a stirring in the hearts of the people that need to be stirred concerning your future. That the dreams that have been spoken concerning you, that you have had, the words God has revealed to you, that this month, the ones that have entered into their season, the ones that have even passed their season, God will begin to cause it to be stirred up back in the name of Jesus. You see, Get this. If you don't pray, P-R-A-Y, you will become a pray, P-R-E-Y, in future. You see, if you don't want to become a pray, as in P-R-E-Y, you better pray. If you don't want to faint, you'd better pray. And I'm talking about your future. If you don't want to fail, you know, I always say something. The prayer of today is for my tomorrow. The prayers of yesterday are working on my behalf today. So that's why I say that it is a key to your future. Because what you are doing is you are securing your future through divine revelation from God. Through prayers, your future will be unveiled. It is only through prayers that that future will be sustained. It is only through prayers that you will retain that future. What's the difference? Unveiled, as in you'll have an understanding of it. So it's no longer concealed. It is through prayers that it's sustained. That means it's kept in your heart. It is through prayers that it is retained. What does that mean? It means that you retain it. It's yours. You take possession of it. It is only through prayers that it is entertained that people will give you access. can only secure your future in the place of prayers. And you see, one of the things that a lot of people do, or that we don't understand, is people pray. I agree, a lot of Christians pray. But sometimes we don't understand some dynamics that is required for prayers. And I'm just going to quickly share two or three things that you need to know about the kind of prayer that works. The kind of prayer that works in order to secure your future. The first thing that you need to understand is that in order for your future to be secured, if you are praying, you need to pray according to God's will. So your prayers need to be according to God's will for your future to be secured. What do I mean by that? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, you know, the Bible states something. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus says something. He said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Get this. You know, a lot of times, primary school, secondary school, when we were growing up, you know, we used to just say that prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." But let's take a minute. It says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, what does that mean? That means that there's a will somewhere in heaven concerning my life, concerning my future, concerning my family, concerning my business, concerning my home, concerning my marriage, concerning my career, concerning my ministry. There is a will in heaven. Now, so that now means that, number one, if I can discover the will in heaven and begin to pray the will in heaven, then what's happening? That will be done on earth. Now, that's praying according to God's will. Sometimes people come to me and say, "Pastor, pray along with me on this matter, or I want to pray." And I pray. But a lot of times, I always end it with, "Lord, let it be according to your will." Because it's not all we desire that is God's will for us. And if I'm praying something that is not God's will, then God is not obligated to answer that prayer. If I'm praying something that God has not written in heaven, then he's not under any obligation for that prayer to work. Amen? So sometimes, sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't know the will of God." If you don't know the will of God, pray, but put that whatever that, "Lord, let your will." Even Jesus said it. "If this cup could pass, but not my will, but your will." So he was saying, my desire is not for this, is that this should pass over me. He could have been praying that, "Lord, let this cup pass over me." But that's not the will of heaven. So in order to secure your future, the prayers that you pray need to be what has been written in heaven. You'll find out that when Daniel was praying, he prayed according to the will. Because it says that he understood by the books, the prophecies that had been written by Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Israelites, that 70 years they shall be in desolation. Jerusalem shall be in desolation, they shall be in captivity. But he said, he realized and started praying concerning those things. He did not start praying before the end of the 70 years. In the book of Jeremiah, there was a prophet that came up. I don't remember his name now. That went to prophesy to the people and say, "Oh, it is well," when God was rebuking the people. And Jeremiah went, that God has not spoken. Jeremiah did not, in the 10th year, start praying that God let the captivity pass away. Because that was not the will of God. Because he had marked the 70 years for a purpose. He was not praying that, he was not even praying that, Lord, let me be the one to lead them out of captivity. He was not praying that, let them remain in captivity longer. He was praying what? The will of God. And because he was praying the will of God, the minute he started, well, not the minute, when he started praying, angelic hosts were stirred up to begin to work on his behalf. Listen to me, once if you can get the will of God concerning your life, and you begin to pray it, you'll find angelic hosts working on your behalf. It's not all prayers that we pray that are necessarily God's will for our life. When your prayers are based on the things revealed to you by God, what you are doing is you are securing your future. You know, sometimes I personally believe, this is me, I personally believe that one of the reasons people feel God has disappointed them, even after they've spent time praying. Have you ever had a situation where you've prayed about a matter and you've really prayed and believed and had faith and it didn't happen? And then you feel disappointed and say, that it's happened to me in the past. But then later on, I went to think about it. I thought, okay, did God tell me that this is? Was I being presumptuous? And someone might ask me, so where does faith come into it? Faith works hand in hand with the will of God. Faith does not work outside the will of God. I cannot have faith for something that is not God's will. When you begin to have faith for something that is not God's will, that is not faith. That's very positive thinking. Are you with me? Let me use an example. Just to bring you home, to make it a bit practical. Let's assume we have a single lady or a single gentleman, you know, Christian, and you know, Christian, and is approached by an unbeliever that asks him out, and starts thinking they want to get married, and is praying about it, that should I marry that person? Immediately, I know that that cannot be the will of God. Let me clarify. I know that it cannot be the will of God for them to marry at that point in time. Maybe some years later or after the person gives their life and becomes a Christian, it may be. But if they are talking about going out then, that is not God's will. So there will be no point praying about something like that, because you will be fooling yourself. Am I making sense? Number two, quickly. Secondly, when we pray, we need to pray with faith. That seems so obvious. But let's get real. It's not every time that we pray that we have faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says something. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, faith, or praying with faith, is believing that what you are praying about, that is the will of God, will come to pass in your life. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes we pray because we think we ought to pray. Sometimes we pray because everybody says pray. Sometimes we pray, but we don't necessarily believe. In the book of Acts, the Bible talks about when Peter was arrested and put in prison, and the church was praying for him. Now, Peter was released miraculously by an angel. And what happened? He got to the house and knocked. The Bible said the servant girl, Rhoda, So open the door and then shut the door and went to tell them Peter is outside. They thought he was crazy. They were praying the prayer. And when God answered the prayer and the thing showed up, they said, no. And sometimes we find ourselves, we find out that when we pray, we are praying, but we don't. You see, when you believe, your actions will show that there is a belief. When you believe, you know it's God's will and you believe, you don't have a plan B. The minute you begin to think that, oh, maybe if it doesn't, maybe I'll do this, you don't believe. Faith is not there. When you have a plan B, that's permutation. That's in mathematics. You permutation, this by this. If this doesn't work, we'll do this. Okay, that's not permutation. You guys, it's permutation now. You guys don't confuse me, man. I had an A in my mathematics in all levels. Amen. Even me, I didn't believe when I saw the A. I was surprised that they didn't give me somebody else's results. Sorry, that's my name. The Bible says in James chapter 1, from verses 6 to 8, it says something there. It says that when we ask, ask in faith and do not doubt. He was talking about asking for wisdom, but we can apply it to everything else. He says, ask and believe. Ask in faith, not doubting. And what does it say? It says the person that doubts will not receive anything. Can you put next verse, please? That for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So when we doubt, that means that, hey, don't expect. So when you're talking about praying concerning faith, you realize that there is no option. If you know it is the will of God, then you know that there's no option in this matter. Am I making sense? When Daniel prayed, he expected results. Third thing, let's move on quickly. Third thing, for prayer to work, prayer that works, your life must be submitted to God. And this is very important. Every area of your life must be submitted to God. I was telling my wife, you know, oh no, I think it's the ministers I was sharing with them yesterday. Or with the leaders. You know, that's one of the things that intrigues me about the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Pastor Yadegbe, is that the man has so much influence. By my reckoning, I may be wrong, but by my reckoning, he's probably the most influential Christian leader in the world at the moment. By my reckoning, I may be wrong, I'm not sure. But that's by my reckoning. And I said, that based on his influence and all that, that man is still fully submitted to God. And it intrigues me. Because sometimes I think if I'm in that position, nobody can talk to me. Well, God will work on me before I get there. But you know what, and I was telling them, I was saying that, and this is why I think, I don't know, that I believe that one of the reasons why he has so much influence is because of his submission. Because God knows that If I tell him, he will not abuse or misuse it. So based on this, and that's why he also has access to heaven. Big time. So that, it's like the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. That says, if I tell a person to go, he goes. Why would that person go? That centurion himself is submitted. So when the person underneath him goes, he's going in the name of the person that sent him. And because the person that sent him knows that if I send this person, he will do what I tell him to do. So when you are in full submission, what happens? God knows that when he tells you to do something or do certain things or give something into your hands, he trusts you with it. So he will be keen to answer the prayers or to hear you. Unlike, let me use an example. If you have a servant, okay, maybe not a servant. If you have, let's say an employee, I don't want to say your son. Your son will not be rebellious in Jesus' name. If you have an employee, two employees, one, you tell them to do something and they're always doing it. They do it to the full letter, they are submitted to what you say. Or, and you have a second one, and some areas, sometimes you tell them to do something, they don't do it, or they argue, or they refuse to do it. Sometimes they do it. Which one would you be entrusting more into their hands? The one that is fully submitted. You'll entrust more. You tell them more. You release more into their hands. They are the ones that you begin to promote. You'll be grooming to take over. Get this? That's how it works in the spiritual. When you are fully submitted, and I'm not just talking about one area. When you are fully submitted, and when I talk about fully submitted, there are times that God will want to tell you to do some things that you think about God. Your wife does something to you and, you know, it's her fault. And you know it's her fault. She knows it's her fault. But she does not apologize. And God says, go and apologize. But I did not do anything. Why? That is full submission. You don't want somebody offend you in church or at work. It is their fault. And God says, call that person. It is difficult, I know. But that's the truth. To secure the future, that's where we need to be, or what we need to begin to work. I'm not fully there. That's the truth. I struggle at times. When God says, do this, God, chill out. Let's negotiate. Let's discuss. It is true. And then after some time, okay, God. Like Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God all night. Eventually he submitted. He said, okay, God, I realize I can't win. Amen. Let me move on quickly. Are you getting something from this? Last one to secure your future. The motive is very important. Your motive. In the book of James chapter 4, a lot of people start with the right motive, but somewhere along the lines, the motive gets derailed. James chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's talking about the motive. That's talking about the reason why you are asking, the reason why we want to enter into what God is calling us to. The reason why we want a business, a multi-million pound business. Why? The motive. God wants this for us, but if the motive is not right, if we don't understand the right motive or get the right motive, then it will be difficult for God to cause us to enter into it. Everything that God wants to release into our hands is so that his name may be glorified. Bottom line, whichever way you look at it, whether it is finances, it is so that his name may be glorified. Whether it is authority, it is so that his name may be glorified. Whether it is power, name it. Anything that pertains to your future, that the prophecy that God has given concerning your future, go back and check and begin to pray about it and ask God that, God, why? Why did you give this to me, or why did you say this concerning me? You will find out that it is so that his name may be glorified. But if we don't understand that, or if we don't get an understanding of that, you see, the other day I was sharing about our cars, our possessions, when I was talking about breaking the financial bondage, that they all belong to God. If we can understand that everything that we have, our whole life, is for God's glory, and begin to see it in terms of our goals, the achievements, the vision, the dreams, the prophet, whatever the case may be, then you find out that when you begin to, that's why, when I say that I don't pray by his grace, and it's not that I'm sorted financially, that's not the case. But I don't worry myself about praying that, Lord, we need money, as in personally, or praying for my needs. I don't bother myself with it. Why? Because I know that if I can fulfill the things he's told me to do, there is no way he will not provide the provision for me. So what is my whole focus is that, God, what have you called me to do? What are we meant to be doing? What is it regarding your ministry? What do you want us to say concerning the people, the congregation? What should we be doing as a church? Spiritually, what do you want me to do? As long as I can meet those needs spiritually, the physical one will be met. So what do I mean? So why am I saying that? Well, the reason why I'm saying that is that, so what I'm doing, my prayers are more or less, Lord, that your name may be glorified. Indirectly, those are my prayers. That your name may be glorified, that your kingdom may be established. And as long as I'm doing that, then all the other things, my motive for this church, us wanting to grow big, and it's something God has told us, it's my motive for us wanting to get a building, my motive for various things that we have, that God has shown us, that we pray about, it is not so that we can make a name for ourselves. It isn't. So, you need to check yourself. Motive. When we talk about praying concerning the things God has called you to do, or praying concerning the vision or the dreams that you believe God has put on your heart, the businesses you want to run, your career, what is the real motive deep down? What is the motive? Get this, if you can get your motive right. You see, listen to me. David said, he said something. He said, he wanted to build a house for God. And check this out. He said, how can I dwell in my own house? I cannot build my own house if God's house has not been built. Now, that caught God's attention. He said, my people have been moving, nobody has thought about that. He said, because you thought about this, that you know what? You are not going to build me a house. Because I don't need a physical structure to dwell in. But I will build your own house, your generation. The minute David's motive was right, get this. He did not have to start praying that God take care of my children. The minute his thought was, Lord, what are your needs? So when we pray concerning our future, we should be praying in terms of, Lord, what are your needs? You know, a lot of times people go to God and God, oh, I want you to do this for me. This I want to do. I want to achieve this. Once in a while, let's stop and ask God, what do you need? Lord, what do you need? Do you need anything? Lord, what can I do for you? What should I do for you? I want to surpass what I did last year. Let's close. Let's close. Prayer is a key to your future. If you want your future secured, want to pray the right way. Let's rise up.